Call it butterflies before a phone call the president wants to go well after months of campaign flirtation with Russia's leader Vladimir Putin.
I hope we have a fantastic relationship. That's possible, and it's also possible that we won't. We will see what happens. I will be representing the American people very, very strongly, very forcefully. And if we have a great relationship with Russia and other countries, and if we go after ISIS together, which has to be stopped, that's an evil that has to be stopped, I will consider that a good thing, not a bad thing.
That was President Trump speaking alongside British Prime Minister Theresa May a day before a Putin-Trump weekend phone call, a call we know little about, but it seems to have generated Kremlin reports that a Putin-Trump summit meeting might be in the works. Such an elevation of Vladimir Putin back to global superpower might not sit well with NATO's leaders, who believe Putin is hurting right now from low oil prices and domestic discontent. Keep Putin on the defensive, says Sir Richard Sheriff, former deputy commander of NATO from 2011 to 2014, in his book 2017, War with Russia. Sheriff worries with Trump's talk of NATO being obsolete, it may be too late to put Putin back in the box.
I'm not sure there is much evidence that he can be constrained. I think the constraint lies very firmly in the West's court, in NATO's court, to raise the bar of risk so high that Mr. Putin realizes that there's nothing to be gained from any further aggression in Eastern Europe. So I think it sits with the West, it sits with Europe, and of course it sits with America as well.
Except that under the Trump administration, you're criticizing what looks like a new friendship between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. And yet the very tactics that you described that should work, basically isolating Putin and getting Europe to line up against Vladimir Putin over the issues of Ukraine, really didn't work under Obama. And Vladimir Putin was able to use the oil weapon and the gas weapon to wreak havoc for the domestic politics of Angela Merkel and the like.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's not an opportunity with the new administration. Of course, there is an opportunity, and I would say that deterrence has got to be go hand in hand with dialogue. On the deterrence question, I think we're some way still from an adequate form of deterrence, and deterrence means capable defense forces and indeed across the board, being able to deter from a financial and economic and perspective, and also, of course, to contest the cyber and information space, which has been particularly relevant in recent months. But deterrence has got to be matched by dialogue as well, and it may just be that the new administration can find a way to achieve dialogue, but it's got to be dialogue based from a position of strength, which has not been the case thus far. As well as that, I think dialogue's got to be based on an undertaking from Mr. Vladimir Putin that the rule of law, international rule of law, needs to be respected. And, of course, we're some way short of that as well.
But there needs to be some sort of demonstration on the cyber domain that would deter Vladimir Putin. Right now, he has the absolute upper hand, and I don't get a sense that there's any credible threat from the United States, short of a real demonstration of cyber warfare power, that would do anything to deter him.
Well, I think you're right. And I think what we need to see from the West collectively is a recognition of the importance of contesting that cyberspace, contesting that information space, so that Russia and Putin cannot just get away with it. I mean, we've seen the allegations of hacking of Democratic Party servers and Mrs. Clinton's emails, all designed to discredit the American electoral process. And I think there's a very good case for a sort of short, sharp shock, a demonstration of cyber capability, so that he doesn't get it all his own way. And thus far, as you suggest, he does appear to have got it all his own way.
What do you think the attraction is of Vladimir Putin to Donald Trump?
I think the attraction is this, that Putin sees in President Trump a man who, as candidate for the presidency of the United States of America, said that he would not necessarily come to the aid of a NATO member if attacked. And that represents an opportunity to drive a wedge between America and the rest of NATO, and to decouple America from European defense. Now, we have learnt the hard way. And it's 99 years since American forces started flowing into Europe in 1917 to take part in the first time America had to come to support freedom in Europe. We've learnt over the 20th century that European security is dependent upon American security, and indeed vice versa. And so I think that Putin sees in Trump an opportunity to decouple America from European security. And unless we hear a very strong message from the new president that NATO remains critical to American security, to transatlantic security, then I fear that Mr. Putin will continue to divide and rule. I think there's an appeal as well, because Mr. Trump has said he can do deals with Putin. But I fear that if there is a deal, unless it is from that position of strength, then there will be one winner, and it'll be Mr. Putin.
Well, then the work that needs to be done that you're talking about there is less about, you know, phone calls and summit meetings between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. It's more demonstrating that Trump can convince the U.S. Electorate that it is worth going to war over Latvia and Estonia. And, you know, post-Iraq, post-Syria, and after 8 years of Obama's weariness with international conflicts, there's a lot of work to do there.
There's a lot of work to do there. And a lot of that work sits here in Europe, because where Mr. Trump has been absolutely right, and he's not been alone in this. Several Europe, American secretaries of state and secretaries for defense have said this, that European members of NATO need to step up to the mark as well. And there's been too much of a dependence on the American taxpayers' dollar to underpin NATO's European defense, and that's not good enough. So if the message comes, I think if Mr. Trump's warnings about the need for Europe to step up to the mark achieve anything, well, that's good news. And it may just be, again, that this is an opportunity to rattle the NATO-European cage, to shake that complacency which has existed thus far. But Europe needs to be prepared to demonstrate its willingness to carry the burden and not dependent on America. And I think that would send, I hope, a message to the American electorate that, yeah, we're prepared to share this, and we're not going to expect you to underwrite our defense capability.
Sir Richard Sheriff is former deputy commander of NATO. He's author of the book 2017, War with Russia. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, John. Good to talk again.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.